This is Dave Gloetz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. What's the good word, Ben?
You are.
No, you are.
I guess there would be two words.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in The Reader on October 14th, 2010. It's titled, No White Knight, No Silver Bullet.
Good headline.
You like that? This article compares two leading candidates for the Cook County Assessor's Office, Joseph Berrios and Forrest Claypool. Let's launch right in. You describe in your article a fundamental problem that you don't think this particular election will solve. That would be the county's over-reliance on property taxes.
Yes, sir.
So I've got two questions about that. One is, how do we chip away at this problem? For example, do we look for candidates, particularly for the Illinois General Assembly, that support a so-called tax swap where, you know, we raise income taxes, but we lower property taxes? How do you start at it, at this problem?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. The problem, of course, is that in our state, the primary funding source for public education is the property tax. So it's become a more aggressive tax over years. And the only way to address this issue is, one, drastically reduce the amount we spend on public education, which some of my more conservative friends tell me we should be doing, or two, replace the tax. And the only way to do that is through state action. So you're correct. You need a different breed of legislatures in the General Assembly.
How can the county assessor help address the problem?
That's the thrust of my article, is that the county assessor really has no bearing on this underlying problem. The assessor does not determine how much overall government spends in property taxes. The assessor merely determines, or has a hand in determining, who pays what of the property tax burden. And as, you know, I'm constantly pointing out, property tax is essentially derived by multiplying a tax rate by the value of your property. It's the assessor who determines how much your property is worth. So if he reduces your property's worth, you pay less in taxes. But of course, that just means that somewhere else in the system, somebody's paying more in taxes to offset the reduction you get.
It's a zero-sum game.
Yes, and so ultimately, I think in a perfect world, of which we do not live in one, it would be a non-elected position, sort of like a soulless functionary who just processed, you know, numbers.
What's the disadvantage of having it as an elected position?
Well, the disadvantage is, like anything else, elected officials have to raise money, so they get money from people who are actively seeking their favors, so they're easily influenced in all sorts of ways, for better and for worse. And my article kind of tried to point out the many different ways. I think in this particular election, everybody tends to get on their high horse because Joe Berrios, who is the Democratic candidate and also the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party, receives lots of donations from property tax lawyers who come and appeal property tax cases before him. I point out in the article that he also, for years, has conducted forums with some of the same aldermen and committeemen who have now opposed him, in which case he pretty much would guarantee to lower the assessments of anybody who showed up at the meeting. I think he said he roughly 70%. So, like I said, you know, as long as an elected office, the person in charge is going to be responsive to whoever comes before him seeking redress.
And so easily compromised.
So the deal is, everybody, if you don't appeal your taxes, you're going to automatically wind up paying more than somebody else who does, or successfully does. And so in that regard, the system, with such a heavy emphasis on appealing, becomes weighed out in the favor of people who play the process, who are active in the system. So if you know the system, you have an advantage in the system.
I'm one of those gamers.
Did you appeal your taxes?
I've appealed several times and gotten reductions every time. So, yeah, like you say, it's the way to game the system. And people who figure out that they win every time, they're not going to stop playing.
That's right. And as the great Milo Samardzija once said, every system has a system.
I may or may not quote him on that. Let's go back to something you said a little while ago when we were talking about potential solutions. And you talked about, you know, maybe changing the composition of the legislature. I'm interested in your reaction to a proposal I heard recently, particularly around two people you mentioned in your article, Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan and Illinois Senate President John Cullerton, whose law firms profit by representing clients who make property tax appeals, which is possibly, you know, a huge conflict of interest since they control legislation that could change the taxing status quo. And what I'm interested in is what you think of a proposal by this guy named Richard Epstein. Did you ever hear of him?
I think I went to high school with a kid named Richard.
Did he become a law professor at the University of Chicago?
No.
Okay, well, this one did.
He did, I don't know.
Anyway, he has a proposal that has to do with term limits. And he talks about this in both the context of the U.S. Congress and in state legislatures, where he's talking about one of the problems with having just regular term limits, like you're in for one or two terms and then you're out, is that the people who end up in legislatures become inexperienced and easily swayed by, you know, the lobbyists who are there forever. This, he says, has happened in California. His solution is to have legislators elected for like a pretty long time, like maybe 10, 15, maybe 20 years, and then they're out. So they get there long enough to become good crafters of legislation. They know the ropes, but they never have to raise money for reelection because they're there for a while and then they're gone. What do you think of that sort of proposal?
What do you think about that? It's the first time I've ever heard of that.
It sounds very intriguing to me because the thing you just talked about earlier, that having the assessor being an elected position makes them subject to the influence of the people who he has to rely on to raise money for reelection if he wants to keep his job.
I can't imagine it ever happening in Illinois, as intriguing as an idea as it sounds, because the state is so fundamentally controlled by the politicians who control it, hence they have no reason to change it, and the public is largely helpless. So it's an idea. I don't know if I would like to go so long without getting to vote. I'm one of the few people in the world who actually enjoys elections and voting for candidates. In fact, this is sort of the subject of the article I'm writing next, about how I treat my vote as though it's my own personal statement about the whole system, not just the candidates who are running. I don't think I'm alone in that. So having absolutely nothing to do with the main issues at stake, I like having the opportunity to vote every, you know, couple of years or whatever it is.
And I guess Epstein's proposal is a reaction to people who are not like you and me, that people who are, first of all, easily influenced at the kind of advertising that comes out of heavily funding campaigns and the people who don't view their vote as a comment on the system or don't vote at all.
Well, you know, Epstein or anybody could take a look at my voting record, which I'm pretty open about, and say that I'm inconsistent, I'm irrational, I'm swayed by emotion. I, too, react to the mailings that I get. I love reading them. They're always entertaining. But many times I vote against the person because I don't like his mailing. That was particularly the case with Forrest Claypool a few years ago when he was railing against the Strogers as though they were alone or responsible for everything that's evil with our local government. I thought it was disingenuous to ignore Mayor Daley's role in all that. So anyway, I think that there's really no way to effectively eliminate the peculiarities of voters in a democracy. We just have to live with it. I enjoy, and I think you do as well, pointing out the inconsistencies of voters, but I think it's a waste of effort and time to think you could ever, you know, eliminate them completely.
And it would give us less things to report on. On that note, Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome, Dave.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.